Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Last month, when Eddie Murphy took the mic to accept the prestigious Mark Twain Prize for American Humor, he opened his remarks with a pointed jab at one of his childhood heroes, a man who'd won that same award in 2009, Bill Cosby.
Bill has one of these. Did y'all make Bill give his back?
From Eddie Murphy to Chris Rock to Jerry Seinfeld, comics who were deeply influenced by Cosby are now grappling with how to handle his tarnished reputation, doing everything from removing their blurbs from Cosby's biography to calling him out on social media and in interviews. But comedian Greg Fitzsimmons is choosing a different route, one that he believes will hit Cosby where it hurts. Greg Fitzsimmons is a stand-up comic. He's an Emmy Award-winning comedy writer and host of the podcast FitzDog Radio. And Greg, welcome to Word of Mouth.
It's nice to be one of the mouths that are making words on your show today.
That's really, it takes a special talent, as you know.
Well, you know, it's talking nonstop has become my life. I do podcasts and radio shows and stand-up, and I really get sick of my own voice sometimes.
Well, we're glad to have it with us today, so it's
Thank
a treat
you.
For us. Well, you've been a comedian for nearly 30 years. Was Bill Cosby an influence for you?
Yeah, I mean, you're asked that a lot as a comedian. Who are your influences? And my go-to comics were, I would always say, George Carlin and Bill Cosby, because I think that as a kid, my father was really into him, and I remember reading his books and listening to his stand-up. I'm a comedy album collector. And I've got, I think, all of his albums. And I think that what was devastating about this is, you know, feeling for the women and what they've gone through, and feeling like because of the stupid statute of limitation laws that nothing is possibly going to be done to this guy. And so you start thinking, like, I've always been kind of a vigilante. Like, I would punch somebody in the face many times in my life because of what they were doing to somebody else. And I think, how do I punch Bill Cosby in the face? And so I decided to just start allocating his material.
That's kind of a cardinal sin in comedy, isn't it? Stealing another comic's material?
It's the worst thing you can do. And I've been doing this for 26 years. And I've got a pretty good reputation for having never done it. And now I feel like it's a point I'm trying to make, which is, you know, can you separate the artist from the art? And I'm going on stage to basically say, what a shame that this great material is being lost, because I don't know that you can listen or look at Bill Cosby doing comedy anymore and appreciate this great body of work because, you know, it's being performed by a serial rapist, alleged.
Well, okay, we say alleged serial rapist. We thought a lot about, like, how we should use that term. Let's just say a man against whom many very convincing allegations have been made.
Yes, and a man who was famous for doing a routine now about Spanish Fly.
Okay, so let me ask you, are there some pieces like that you probably wouldn't do at Bill Cosby's now? You know, what's the kind of line for the stuff that you're reappropriating?
I try to do the classics, you know, Noah and the dentist office. And I basically go up and I try to do the bit without telling the audience what I'm doing. I want to take it as far as I can without them noticing. And then some people you can start to see are sort of curious about why I'm doing a Bill Cosby routine. And then I'll generally introduce rape into the routine. You know, like the dentist ends up gassing the patient. Noah is giving Dramamine to all the animals and having sex with them. So it's, you know, at the end, it's a satirical take on it. But I try to keep it as straight as I can. I don't do an impression of him, but I try to do the bit as close to the way he does it as possible.
So how do audiences react once they know that it's a Bill Cosby bit?
Well, that's the thing, is I never wanted this to be something that glorified Bill Cosby. That was my worst nightmare about this. I wanted it to be, again, a statement about whether or not these jokes can be performed by somebody else. Can we save this good material? But ultimately, it's just about, you know, trying to make them see the bit as a performance piece. And unfortunately, they were laughing at the bit so much that I think I'm done. I think I'm out of this project because it just felt like I couldn't get the audience to laugh in the way that I wanted them, which is laughing at the idea of trying to hurt Bill Cosby. Oh, instead, they're laughing at it in a way that shows an appreciation of the material.
Well, when I first heard about it, it made me kind of uncomfortable. I just thought, you know, is he elevating his material? Shouldn't we just let him disappear?
I think that's ultimately how I feel about it. And, you know, I went into this not really knowing what the beats of the piece were and, you know, how it would completely play out. I just knew that, you know, I felt this anger towards him. And I felt like, okay, he's already got all these women suing him. He's got people no longer showing up to his shows. And what else can we do to hurt Bill Cosby? And to me, it was like, let's take his material and take it from him and then bastardize it. But in the end, I felt like what you said. I feel like let's let this guy just go away and hopefully be prosecuted and put away.
Well, he has had honorary degrees taken away from him. 35 of his accusers had their portraits on the cover of New York Magazine. Few, if any, besides his wife so far, defenders left. Yet he remains just defiantly closed mouth. Do you think this will rattle him? Do you think you'll hear from his attorney about a cease and desist?
Well, you know, I talked to my lawyer about it just to make sure I wasn't getting on the wrong side of things. And I'm fine because this is considered parody, which you're allowed to do a certain amount of somebody's material if it's parody. But I hope so. And that really is my hope. That was my number one goal is, can I annoy Bill Cosby? Because in a system where until we can change the laws about statutory rape, until we can, you know, make changes in our this culture of rape that we have there, where women take this long to come forward because they're ashamed and they blame themselves, and society will still do what people like Damon Wayans did, where they said these women are gold diggers. You know, until the dynamic changes in our society, men will continue to get away with these heinous crimes. Not once, but it's just hard to wrap your head around that it can happen allegedly 40 times, and there's no recourse.
Well, there is a possibility of civil suits, of course. And it's not as if the allegations are recent news. The civil suit he settled with Andrea Constan was in the news in 2006. At the time, other women had made claims. I mean, I can't help but think, where was the outrage back then?
I remember reading that there was an article in Rolling Stone magazine. I don't know. I'd be guessing by saying 15 years ago. And I remember saying, why is this not getting picked up by the mainstream media? And you look back at the history of celebrities, you know, being accused of sexual misconduct. You know, you go back to Michael Jackson and Roman Polanski, you know, Tupac Shakur. And they all were dismissed. The charges were brought. And when people have deep pockets, these cases just seem to go away, and the press seems to go away. And Bill Cosby was a very powerful guy, and his image was very protected by mainstream community, certainly by African-American community, and we didn't choose to explore it anymore.
Well, Polanski is such an interesting case because he pleaded guilty to unlawful sexual intercourse with a minor, and then won an Academy Award for Best Director decades later, while the audience at the Academy Awards gave him a standing ovation.
Right.
So why do you think an artist like Polanski does not face the same kind of scrutiny?
I think we hope these things aren't true. And, you know, again, going back to the whole rape culture thing, we will meld our minds around obvious evidence that's being presented to not believe that a beloved figure is capable of a crime like that at the expense of the victim. And, you know, you look at Michael Jackson. I mean, we're still at weddings dancing to his music when he paid off how many families because he had some kind of inappropriate contact with their children. And again, it's alleged, but you can see the power that these people wield and how they can make stories go away.
You said earlier, can we separate the man from his art? You know, and Fatty Arbuckle in the 1920s, you know, created a big scandal and kind of went away. Miles Davis allegedly beat up women, and we love his music. Is there, you know, a kind of statute of limitations on holding somebody accountable and guilty before the admiration takes over again?
Well, that's the question. I mean, look at how many people, Jewish people, walk down the aisle to Wagner, who is a, you know, voracious anti-Semite. And so you just, that's the question, is the line moves for every celebrity and for every person that's listening to their work or watching their work. And there's no easy answer to that. And again, when you go back to these cases not being convictions, but rather being allegations that are somehow mysteriously settled, and us not wanting to believe it, I can tell you, like, for people that do steal jokes, and there's a lot of, I'm not going to name drop, but some of the biggest comedians in the business have stolen jokes, you know, word for word. And the audience doesn't care. Comedians get outraged. But the average audience member, they want to laugh. They want to go to a show. And if somebody is humorous and edgy or whatever they're looking for, and they find out they stole, they kind of shove it in the back of their minds because it's not as important to them as that they're getting entertainment value out of something.
Greg Fitzsimmons, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Greg Fitzsimmons, stand-up comic and Emmy Award-winning comedy writer, and the mouth of the podcast Fitzdog Radio. You'll find a link to his work at wordofmouthradio.org.